Hello, my name is Stephen Robert Zeiler, and I am one of the doctors at Johns Hopkins Hospital. I work specifically in neurology as a stroke doctor.
And I'm Elizabeth Tracy. Thanks so much for joining me. In fact, we're recording today when you're on a service dealing with people who may have had a stroke. Maybe we can start with that. Let's talk about a stroke to begin with.
Anytime somebody has a stroke, there are really three important time periods that we have to concern ourselves with. Immediately after a stroke happens is arguably one of the most important time periods, because that's when we have the opportunity to save dying brain. Somebody has to get to the hospital immediately, and depending upon the particulars of the presentation, we may be able to intervene both with clot-busting drugs as well as other things that we might be able to use to help save the brain. Unfortunately, a lot of people present to the hospital outside of a time window when we can provide that type of meaningful brain recovery. All is not lost, however. There are still a lot of things that we can do to help. And that's what I refer to as the subacute time window, where we concern ourselves more with diagnostics. Why did the stroke occur? How are we going to prevent the next stroke from happening? And also concerning ourselves with what are the complications of this acute stroke? Is there swelling in the brain? Do we need to intervene to reduce any of these complications of the stroke? And this is where a lot of inpatient stroke care lands. All in all, even if the stroke doctor is perfect, I hate to say it, but there are patients that are going to leave the hospital with meaningful deficits. Unfortunately, this leads us to the third time period of stroke, which is the recovery aspect. We are sorely lacking in any sort of interventions to help patients get over whatever lasting deficits they have. And this is something where I am particularly interested in understanding how we can help these people. And this is where I have decided to focus a lot of my energies, is can we get a better understanding of the underlying processes that help the brain adapt and recover.
So now that you've identified the generalities of this thing that you're interested in, let's talk a little bit more about the specifics of it. And I guess I would also ask you a question about, even in that third phase that you've described, there are time periods even within that.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic point. Specifically, what we've learned about the brain is that it is a very, very smart organ. What I'd like to do is draw a bit of an analogy to development. So for instance, we know that kids learn very quickly. Their brain is a very, if you take my meaning, plastic organ. The older we get, the brain becomes a little less plastic. And so one of the approaches that I and some of my colleagues have taken is, can we understand how the young brain is plastic and try to reawaken that? I'm attempting then to take some of these lessons that I've learned from the developing brain and apply that to the post-stroke or the diseased brain. There are two ways to do this. One is in human patients. The other is in experimental animals. Right now, I'm actually looking at mice who have had a very specific stroke and attempting to understand how the brain remaps its lost function to other parts of the brain so that that mouse can adapt to its surroundings. And what is fantastic is we've learned that the human brain seems to use the same, at least molecular, mechanisms to do just that.
In your animal model, do you have ways that you can stimulate that further and get it codified so that it actually overcomes the deficit?
We can look at a timeline of a severe injury that over a period of about 7 to 10 days gets better on its own, so that then we can look at the part of the brain that is responsible for that improvement. The idea being, if we can understand how that recovery has happened, we can begin to uncover mechanisms important in that recovery.
This sounds an awful lot to me like themes that I've heard in a lot of places in medicine right now. Somehow, is there a way to reawaken the process of development, irrespective of whether that's in the brain or elsewhere in the body, and get repair, get some of these processes that we associate sometimes with aging and other times with injury to be overcome somehow?
You're absolutely right. The human body is an amazing thing, and we don't seem to do so well the older we get. And one of the things that physicians and scientists in all aspects of research are looking at is, how can we get the body young again? the idea is if we can somehow let the brain be quote unquote young again and talk to itself to remake those connections.
How would you say that the research that you're doing has an impact even today on the people who come in who've had strokes?
One of the things that I love about Hopkins is the wide aspects of research going on. I'm working with several amazing researchers, and it's only after being here at Hopkins that I've actually been able to get this group of people together where I can say, this is what I'm seeing at a cellular level. This is what I'm seeing in animal models. What are you seeing? And they say, goodness, I'm seeing something very similar. Here's what I'm seeing in humans. Here's what I think is relevant to look at because we're seeing this in humans. Being able to work with these people, I can better direct this model, even though some of this basic research is not directly applicable. The patients that I'm seeing are directly changing my research to make it applicable.
What an interesting thought that in fact, it's your patients who are informing your research questions.
Oh, absolutely. To take it one step further, though, one of the things that I have noticed is how aggressive we should be and perhaps how aggressive we're not being at some of this early rehab work that should be going on in patients. And one of the things that my team, even right now, that we advocate for all of our patients is to get involved in a rehab program so that they can try to take full advantage of any sort of recovery.
Why does your research inform that particular bent of yours?
One of the things that we're noticing, if we return to this developmental idea, earlier is better. There seems to be a period of time, especially after a stroke, where the brain seems to be very responsive to any sort of intervention. Too early might not be good. Too late, we might not see as effective a recovery. Seems to be a Goldilocks window, if you will, of intervention, which is going to lead to the best recovery.
So that's a really interesting idea. I'm wondering if you don't want to intervene too early because there's too much inflammation and other acute factors going on, but if you wait too late, it's going to be kind of hardwired.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's the exact right way to think of it right now, at least that based on the data that we're getting at this point.
So these kinds of things to me say, wow, if you have a stroke, you want to come to a place where there's this sort of work going on.
No doubt about it. One of the beauties in Baltimore, regardless of where you have a stroke, we have a hub and spoke model where patients can be seen and evaluated by stroke experts. I think one of the important things for any patient who's had a stroke is to be evaluated acutely, make sure that there is follow-up, especially with a physician who is knowledgeable in stroke, to help not only with the things I spoke about early on, the diagnostics to make sure we're not missing a cause that would lead to another stroke, but also to make sure that they're involved in the right sort of therapies to help get them better.
Excellent. What else would you like to add?
I am an advocate of research in all forms, both basic and clinical. I think what hopefully became obvious during this conversation is we don't have a fantastic idea of how the human brain recovers after a stroke. There is an excellent, excellent group of researchers, both in Baltimore and really throughout the country, who are slowly beginning to understand how this can happen and how we might be able to understand it. One of the best ways to help with this, though, is to be involved in clinical trials. Anybody who's had a stroke and who is willing to be involved in that, I think it's a good idea because it will help hopefully not only that individual patient, but help the broader population as a whole.
Thank you so very much.
It's my pleasure.